It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Back here, 4 o'clock hour. Golden Knights get the job done. First game with Mark Stone. Let's get into the hockey scene. Our good friend from ESPN, Elko, Linda Cohen on a horn with us. What's up, Linda?
Hey, Steve. How's it going? I'm doing great. Yeah, that was a big win last night. You want to get all the Stone era off to a good start. And looks like he's buddy-buddy with Max Pacioretty now, so all is well in the world.
It's weird, isn't it? Because Patches, as we like to call him here, was talking about having an intense rivalry with Stone.
Yes.
And then he comes over, and it's like, all right, I guess we got to bury the rivalry and become teammates.
Yeah, it's great. Sports is great that way, right? I mean, we see that in other sports. Also, we see it in the NHL as well. I mean, they're best of buds after a game is over. They're shaking hands, whatever. So it's all part of the process. But boy, when this deal was made, and I was like quick to tweet, and we talked about it on In the Crease on ESPN Plus regarding this is like just a great. I mean, he was so wanted by so many teams, and of course George McPhee found a way. And just when you thought, wonder why Vegas isn't doing anything substantial, there they come, you know, just when you least expect it, and grab one of the top prizes in the deadline.
So you like the deal across the board. The cost wasn't too much on the VGK side?
Oh, my gosh. I love the deal. I love that they signed him. That's what I love. And I love that he's young. I mean, he's really, what is he, 26? I mean, the guy has so much skill, so much talent. He'll not only put the puck in the net and be a playmaker, but he just he just makes those around him better. And guess what? It's just the rippling effect. When you go out and get a player like that, what that means in the dressing room to the other players, it's like, wow, hey, you know, we're not resting on our laurels for last year. Hey, wow, they really want to go out and get it, and we're going to play harder. And it's almost subconscious. You know, players don't even realize they're doing it. But when they get that, when their mental state is where it should be, then the rest of it just goes into form physically. And I think that's what happens to a team that was just going about its business, kind of, you know, hanging out in third place in the Pacific Division for so long, going through its roller coaster season, which, let's face it, it has been for the Golden Knights, as everybody just worries about. I mean, if I'm a fan of the Golden Knights, I'm really worried about Marc-Andre Fleury just playing every single game. I mean, that's been my ongoing preaching throughout the season. I think I mentioned that a couple of times on the show.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I worry about. I mean, the use of a Marc-Andre Fleury during this season and how many games, you know, he's on pace to play, and another long marathon of a postseason. You just want him to be healthy, because as we all know, with all due respect to Malcolm Subban, you know, Fleury is a goner. He gets hurt in any way or out any period of time, God forbid, there's no way Vegas is going anywhere.
Well, I mean, we've talked about the Fleury playing load the entire season, and now that we're towards the end here, we got 18 games left with the Golden Knights. What would you do if you were Gerard Gallant? I mean, how much do you have Subban out there to get Fleury some rest?
I got to find ways to get him rest, because I got to look big picture. I know you have a 4-point lead, I guess, over the second wild card, so nothing is a lock right now. Playoffs are not a lock right now, obviously, for Vegas. They need to continue to play well. They need to build on yesterday's victory. But, I mean, like one every four games, I need Subban in there. You know, at the very least, I need to find a way. No back-to-backs with Fleury ever for the rest of the way.
Right.
That's what I'm looking at, especially the next couple of weeks. I might get it, depending on what the situation is in the standings. If you make an adjustment down to the last couple of weeks of the season and you're worrying about a playoff spot, I get it. Then you go hard with Fleury and you treat every game like a playoff game. But I think you have to find, and a coaching staff has to find ways to rest their franchise goalie, else they're not going anywhere.
Back to the trade deadline, and we're talking to Linda Cohen from ESPN, hockey expert, awesome on SportsCenter. Was there a team that you saw, you know, pretty much inactive on the trade deadline where you said, you know, that team should have made a move? That team blew it by not adding something significant.
Yeah, it's a great question. I really thought, even though they're blowing everyone away, the Tampa Bay Lightning, I really thought they could have gotten a little grittier. Gotten
really?
A player like a Wayne Simmonds, somebody like that. Because we look what Ryan Reeves had meant to Vegas last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
someone like that kind of player the Lightning could use, because we all know, and you guys know, and your listeners know, by watching the inaugural season last year, the postseason was a hell of a lot different than the regular season. And you need guys like that. So I really thought the Lightning were going to go after a guy like that. And I thought, you know, Toronto was going to go after a guy like that. But they had a guy like that a year ago with Matt Martin, and they let him go. And I also thought the Islanders made a big mistake by not adding forward depth. I don't know that everyone's giving praise to Lou Lamoriello. We believe in this group, and Barry Trotz believes in this group. But, you know, the Islanders, who've been sitting in first place the last few months in the Metro, are suddenly not looking so amazing. They're tied at the top now. And if you look at the Eastern Conference, anything can happen. And they could still not make the playoffs if they go into a slide. And I thought they could have used getting somebody. I thought they were going to go after a Duchesne or a Stone or someone like that to help Matt Barzal. So I think that was probably a glaring error as well. But listen, Lou Lamoriello, 3 Stanley Cups, can't question that guy, whatever. But I would have went after somebody.
What do you think it's going to be like tomorrow night on home ice for the Islanders as Tavares comes back to town?
You know, I grew up on Long Island, Steve. I know what that fan base is about, and they are very passionate, as you know. And
do they hate Tavares for leaving?
Oh, they hate him. Now, I don't agree with that, because I think that guy gave his all every stinking game for that franchise, and they never put anything around that guy, really, of substance, of serious substance. And he carried that load, and he answered reporters' questions each and every night after every despicable loss. So I don't wholeheartedly agree with the fans, but you know how fans are. That's why they're fans. The signs will be creative and clever, and some will not be displayed on in the crease, but they're going to be loud. And I think I tweeted out, because I think the game is – I know the game. We're showing it on ESPN+. I tweeted out, that video tribute is going to be an experience, because I don't think you're going to hear anything in the narration or anything. Yeah. So, I would tune in just to check out what the reaction is going to be. And it's going to be that way throughout the game. It's not going to be like, the first time or second time he touches the puck, boo. No, it's going to be throughout the game and every time he enters his way back into New York. And the other thing is, I loved his decision to go to Toronto, so every player has earned their right to pick where they need to go and want to go. There's no loyalty there when you're a free agent. Sorry.
Right.
And the Islanders had plenty of chances to sign that guy, but, you know, they didn't step up. And we can see what an amazing talent he is. So it's going to be pretty ugly there.
So what's your reaction to what happened with Zuccarello? Dallas makes this big trade. They're trying to make the push for the playoffs, and the guy breaks his arm.
Yeah, how sad is that? I mean, but that's what Matt Zuccarello is, and that's what Dallas is getting. A guy that goes all out every single game. The one shot he decides to block to help impress his teammates, by the way, which he already did because he had a goal and assist in the game, he suffers the broken arm. He's out 4 weeks. I mean, it's really sad. But you know what? Ranger fans are another strange bird. They cannot understand how you cannot let a Zuccarello go. You know, and the Rangers, you know, they came through with their last year when they said they were rebooting. They were serious, getting rid of Kevin Hayes, Matt Zuccarello, and a few others, obviously. But he's a good player. I mean, the Rangers made a good deal to make that deal and get what they got from Matt Zuccarello. But that's what happens. You know, you guys know that you roll the dice when you make deals, and hockey's the toughest game, tougher than any game, tougher. I mean, it's right there with football. And you could get hurt. And sadly, Zuccarello got hurt. But 4 weeks, now it's up to Dallas to win without him. But as we saw last night, you know, they're in trouble.
Now, speaking of the NHL as a tough guy sport, what did you want to do with Lundqvist last week when he was reacting to Zuccarello going bye-bye? Did you want to hug him
and say, toughen
up, buttercup?
Come on, Henry. I love, first of all, I don't care what the situation is, whether a player gets sad, whether a player gets angry, whether a player cries. I love when players are themselves. I love that players are either saying it like it is or speaking from the heart. And we saw when Lundqvist was asked about Zuccarello, his good friend for the last 10 years, they both grew up in the organization. was traded, he got emotional. He cried, you know, and I had no problem with that. But on the other hand, hey, this is a business. Sports is a business. No secret, Zuccarello was on the trade market for like months. I mean, entering the season, we knew his contract situation, and we knew what the situation is with the Rangers organization. So he was a prize, you know, he was a prize for another team to grab, and he got grabbed. So it was like not a shock. I mean, you know, he didn't die, God forbid. You know what I mean? It's just like, on one hand, I applaud the real feelings, but on the other hand, it was no shocker that he was gone.
Come on, Henrik. Get it together. Last one, Linda. I love fighting. I love heat. I love you know, any of that action in sports when there's rivalries. What do you think about what's going on and what went down with Evander Kane and Chara? And I guess the NHL came back and said, sorry, Evander, we're not going to penalize Chara for what you claimed was a dirty hit.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to kill Evander Kane. I mean, he's got to try to get you know, I saw the hit. I saw it in real time, and then I saw the replay a few times. I think it looks dirtier than it is because of the height differential. I'm not making excuses ever for Zdeno Chara. He's a big boy in all ways. He knew what he was up against. He knew what he was doing. But I think Chara got a free pass this time. If he does something else, he's not going to get away with it. So I think it was. I think it's fun that Kane tweeted about it and went on Instagram and did three blind mice. I love that fun. Hopefully he won't be fined. I don't know. I didn't check the latest today if players are fined for their posts on social media. But, you know, it might be the same as speaking out verbally to reporters, you know, but against the refs. But, you know, I thought Kane had a case, and I was not going to have been surprised if Char was disciplined. How did you see it? You're the one that loves fighting.
No, I know, right? I buy what you're saying, too, that the height difference hurts Chara. So everything, you know, anytime he smashes somebody, it's looking like he's taking a shot at someone's head. I mean, the guy's massive. Hey, last thing. How's the West Coast for you?
I love it. It's great. Yeah. I mean, you knew that answer. Come on. I mean, I'm standing
Actually, some
sunshine.
Linda, some people from the Northeast, you know, who've been working there forever might say, you know, I don't like L.A. It's too crowded. I don't like the people. They're fake. But, you know, for me, Vegas has been a little cold lately, and L.A. hasn't been great. But the weather here, to get a chance to avoid what goes on in the Northeast from a weather standpoint, I'm all in.
I'm all in, Steve, too. And you know what? That's old stereotypes, where they say. People are phony and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, if you're hanging out in certain areas of L.A., just like if you hang out in certain areas of, you know, cities, whether it's Vegas, Nashville, wherever, you're going to always find a phony, fake kind of contingent. But I haven't found that at all. And people are a hell of a lot nicer than in the Northeast. That's number one. Number two, the weather will extend our lives. The weather will extend our lives. I'm telling you like it is. I mean, there are, I mean, New York, I'm a New York girl. I love New York. And if you're in Manhattan and you're, you know, you stop to ask someone for directions, they'll tell you. They'll know. I mean, they're not me. It's, you know, I think in movies have stereotyped a lot of cities, which aren't true. You know, it's not factual. So I love it out here, and I'm tired of the weather. I think as anyone gets older in their lives, they're like, I don't want to deal with shoveling my driveway. I don't want to deal with, like, having to, you know, heated seats and dealing with that. I don't need to deal with those freezing my butt off, you know, anymore. Not interested. I can visit that if I want. So sure. I love it. Thank you for asking, Steve.
I'm very concerned. Very concerned. If you weren't happy in L.A., then we would take up your case. I just want you to be happy. Last one, where that next level hockey talk, where can they find it on ESPN and ESPN Plus?
Yep. Awesome. Great. So it's awesome. But thanks for having me.
All right, Linda. We appreciate it. We'll see you.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, in the crease is the show, and you can catch it on ESPN occasionally, but mostly on ESPN Plus. The great Linda Cohn with us here on a Wednesday. We're going till 7:30, running Rebel Warm-Up with John and Robert in a little over 3 hours. One of our favorite spots of the week is on the way, and yes, we are going deep divey, not to get a little pervy, but we have to find out more about the legal process around the Bob Kraft Spagate.